Turn your Bibles, Psalms 91. I'm going to speak a little bit, then I'll exhort all this other because there's so many scriptures. We've been talking about dual jurisdictional faith. Both of these faiths are required for manifestation. And one of them is in the spirit, secret place, right hand of God, heavenlies. And one of them is done here. Believe that you receive, that's done there. Believe those things you sayeth to come to pass, that's done here. Both of those are required for true faith to manifest and be seen. How to bring the invisible realm into visibility. Psalms 91 is an incredible example of that. I'm going to be talking about this, and I'm going to transition over into the life, some things that the Lord's showing me. But you see, he begins, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Mighty. That's the spiritual realm. That's the right hand of God. That's where he covers us under the shadow of his wings. Notice what he says, verse 2, I will say, there is no such thing as having faith without words. We must have words every day. If you're going to be in faith, you have to have words coming out of your mouth. And they're not always going to feel like it. It's like working out. How many of you ever work out? If you work out on a consistent basis, then there'll be times you feel like it. And there'll be times you don't feel like it. How many of you ever do the treadmill? That's the way it is. And then there's other times you're just like a force. It's like, give me an hour, you know. You don't determine feelings when you're doing certain things. They'll all come into alignment. It's something you do every day. And if you will get in faith, things will go well for you. They will, because faith can order the kingdom of God. The faith can order the world system. I'm going to show you some things today about the life. So he says, I will say, he's my refuge. Surely he'll deliver me from the snare of the fire. He covers me with his feathers. He's still in a spiritual place here. He's getting positioned. He's identifying. He is identifying who he is. He's identifying his inheritance. He's positioning. I cover me under with his feathers, under the shadow of his wings. Truth is a shield and buckler. See, he's getting encompassed, surrounded, positioned, because he understood how to do this. He got into the high places so he can descend into the earth and get something done. But then he shifts. He's in a heavenly jurisdiction, but now he's moved down into an earthly jurisdiction. See, in the heavenly, he's getting compassed. He's receiving. He's identifying. Even though he's saying, I will say of the Lord, it's my refuge tree. What he's doing is getting covered. He's getting clothed. He's getting surrounded. He's getting filled, empowered. See, that's what you do there. We don't just go to the secret place and lay down. If we go to the secret place and lay down, you're missing. I mean, sometimes it's time to lay down, but if you lay down every day, faith will lay down. How many of you ever laid your sword down and then the enemy started? Oh, he loves it when you lay your sword down. He loves it when you quit and give up, because he'll kick you and kick you some more and kick you some more and some more. How many of you ever learned that? Enemy never gives up. So it's much better to be covered under the shadow of his wings. Now watch, when he shifts now, he's moving in an earthly jurisdiction. Now he starts speaking directly into the earth. Now he's addressing things in the earth, and he does it with power. He said, that shall not be, in verse 5, afraid of terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that walketh in darkness, or destruction that wasteth noonday. You don't wake up talking like that. You don't wake up covered under the shadow of his wings. You have to get covered. But when he comes down, look at the way he's talking. He's not afraid of destruction that wasteth at noonday. Thousands shall fall at my side, 10,000 at my right hand. He will not come nigh me. He's speaking with a position of authority because he was in authority. It's a perfect psalm for this. Only without eyes shall behold the reward of the wicked. Look at verse 10. There shall no evil befall me. Neither shall any
plague come nigh my dwelling. You see that? He's come from a position of authority. He's come from a position of dominion. He's come from a position seated. Now he's coming down to administrate that dominion. He comes up, he comes down. Those, the dual jurisdictional faith, when we get both of those operating together, that's what makes it work. That's how you bring the invisible realm into visibility. Amen? I love the way he speaks. He gives his angels charge over me. I like this verse 13. He treads upon the lion and the adder. The young lion, the dragon, I'll trample under my feet. See his position. The lion, the adder, the dragon, those are all symbolic of things you're at war with. But no, he's not facing it front on. Notice he says it's under my feet. When you're on the right hand of God, when you're properly seated, the devil's under your feet. Your circumstances under your feet. Those things you struggle with are under your feet. See, the lion, the adder, the dragon, under my feet. If it's not under your feet, you're not in position for faith. That's why you go to the secret place. You get covered. You get empowered. You get filled. Then you come in and ministrate. See the dual jurisdiction there? Psalms 91 is a perfect example of dual jurisdictional faith. Now, I'm going to shift for a minute, but it's all going to tie together. I want to talk to you a little bit about the life. We are what I have termed generation resurrection. This generation will encounter, receive, and demonstrate the life of heaven like no other generation. In fact, we're the generation will be called out by life itself. Our body will be resurrected. Death will be swallowed up in victory. We're the generation to receive, demonstrate that life into the earth. And the Lord's very focused on this right now. I want to share with you a little bit about the word that's inside of you. Go to Revelation chapter 1. Look at what I just said was like a little review of where we've been. In order to bring something forward from the kingdom of God, you're going to have to see its power. You have to identify its power. You have to be able to acclimate to its power. If we can't see it, we're not going to have faith for it. The very foundation of faith is you must first see what it is you're believing God for. Well, I'm just believing God. What are you believing God for? Well, he just whatever he wants to do. Well, he already has done it. It's been amazing what he's done for us. Not only did he demonstrated his power in ways that we're just kind of finding out what all he did for us. Now, in the book of Revelation, there is a greetings there, verse 4, and John to the seven churches, and he's writing, and then the Spirit of the Lord comes over him, and he's saying, greetings from him which is, which was, which is to come, speaking of the Father, from the seven spirits of God. That's how the Holy Spirit was termed in the book of Revelation. He's not mentioned as the Holy Spirit. He's mentioned as the seven spirits of God. And from the Lord Jesus Christ, the faithful witness. But then, in verse 8, the Lord describes himself as the Alpha and the Omega. He said, I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, saith the Lord, which is, which was, and what which is to come. Say Alpha, Omega. Now he's describing himself as the Word. Now I'm going to share with you some things he did as the Word, which opened our inheritance in a marvelous way. The first we see when he encountered Lazarus in John chapter 11. When he encountered Lazarus, something remarkable happened there because he was about to call him out of the grave, and Martha comes up to him, and they have an exchange. And he says, your brother will rise again. And she goes, yeah, Lord, I know. I want you to go over there. Go to John 11. I want to show this to you. He demonstrated his life in two very powerful ways. And when the Lord was showing this to me, he said, this that I'm showing you is inside of you. Can you believe this? What I'm about to say to you is what he kept saying. This is what's inside of you. I am what you're reading. This part of me is inside of you. An unlimited operation of life. And he showed it to me in two major forms. So we'll get to the point here in John chapter 11. And when he said this, Jesus said unto her, verse 23, thy brother shall rise again. Because by now he's dead. And Martha goes, you know, by this time he stinketh, you know. Lots of unbelief going on here. But look at verse 24. And Martha said unto him, I know he will rise again in the resurrection. At least she knew that. Where do you think she got that from? She was listening to the Lord. She knew he was the resurrection. He knew there was a time that every body would rise and be resurrected in Christ. She knew that day. She goes, I know he's going to rise again, Lord. Thank you for confirming that to me. I know he's going to rise again in the resurrection. It be God's will. I know he will rise again in the resurrection. At the last day. It's amazing how faith tends to put things off. Faith, not our faith, but people tend to push things out. Tomorrow. Listen, it's today faith. If anybody had today faith, it was the Lord. Because she was like, in the last day he'll rise again. And Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection. I am the life of that day. I am that day. If you understood the book of John, a lot of his miracles were done in these final weeks that he was in Jerusalem. A lot of the miracles he did, he was demonstrating different parts of him. Like when he made the clay in the spittle and he rubbed it in the man's eyes and the man was healed. He was demonstrating his original creative model. He was the creator of the earth. Do you know the earth was covered with water? He pulled the clay out of the water and he formed and fashioned man. He was just using his same revelation way. And he was demonstrating, I am the creator. The one that you say, you know, that I created the earth. Look, I'll show you how I did it. And that's how he healed. Well, he did it again here. He's demonstrating, I am at the resurrection to show you that I am that day. I'm going to call your brother out of the tomb. I'm going to call him from that day. I'm going to bring that day here. Why? Because I am that which was, that which is, that which is to come. The Lord's faith could operate jurisdictionally to and fro, geographical boundary, outside of time, inside of time. He was not bound. So he says, I am not bound to that day. Therefore, I will take that day and I will bring Lazarus out with that day right now. You know what he did? He pulled the resurrection power of that day into where he was. And that day hadn't even happened yet. We're waiting on that day. We're in the generation most likely of that day. And yet he pulled that day, which is 2,000 years from that day, into his day. He pulled 2,000 years back. He said, it's not going to happen for at least 2,000 years, but I'll pull what's going to happen 2,000 years from now. I'll pull it into the now. Lazarus, come forth. That's called the word who was, the word who is, and the word who is to come. Somebody say amen. That's how it worketh. He could work it. Because he was the word. He was demonstrating, I am not bound to time, space, opinion, or death itself. My Lord, he stinketh. He goes, did I not say you would see the glory of God? He called him out. Dead. that filled Jerusalem up. I mean, they all came out. You know, when they were waving the palm branches, not only did they say they came to see him, they came to see whom he raised from the dead. Boy, they loved him. 7 days later, they crucified him. You got to watch people. They'll be waving palm branches at you one day and stoning you the next day. They did it to the Lord. They'll do it. We're covered. Praise God. No prophet rocks today. Isn't that amazing? He is the word of life. Life has no limitation. What do you do next time? We did it again. He did something marvelous on the Mount of Transfiguration. He completed our salvation. On the Mount of Transfiguration, he did the opposite. With Lazarus, he pulled the day to where he was. On the Mount of Transfiguration, he took himself into the day. Before he pulled 2,000 years in front and brought it to him, that's what the Lord said. This kind of faith is available if you understand how to operate in me. He said, now, in the Mount of Transfiguration, people don't understand that. When his body lit up like the countenance lit up like the sun and its strength and the glory came over him, he stepped into his resurrection. How do you know that? Peter said he did. The second book of Peter, he said he did. When we made known unto you the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, we were not telling you old wise fables, but we were eyewitness of his majestic glory. We beheld him. And Peter's talking about the second coming of the Lord that hasn't even happened yet based on the time that they were on the mount. Because we were with him on the mount. We saw his majestic glory. He goes, I'm not coming to you to wise. We have more sure word of prophecy. Say more sure the word of prophecy. Because we were eyewitnesses to it. Meaning that not only, and he did this a lot, by the way, not only did he transport himself 2,000 years in front, he pulled Peter, James, John, the two witnesses with him. They all took a ride on the glory train. We're not ready for this kind of God, but that's what he did. He entered in to his own resurrection, carrying our image with him, completing us that day in time. The Father spoke and said, this is my beloved Son. Oh, how I'm well pleased with you. You just completed man's redemption today. And the law and the prophets were there to see it. The church was there to see it. Completion of redemption. Entered into the life, into the day of resurrection that still, by the way, hasn't happened yet. But it's most likely our generation. It is our generation. He entered into that day. Why? Because he is the light. He goes, I am that day. I am him who was. I am him that is. I am him who was to come. I'm the life. I'm the resurrection. And it has no boundary. The only limitation to resurrection is what you put on it. God already showed he shattered all limitation. He says, write this down. And he kept saying, write this down. He goes, I am that day inside of you. I am that day. That day is already inside of you. The day of the resurrection, the day of the life is up inside of you. He goes, if you can understand the God kind of faith in the face of God, you can move in these realms with me and access things that they say are not due until the day. But I already showed you I could pull the day where I was and I could put myself into the day. Isn't that awesome? That's the life. When he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He's the manifestation of life itself. Let's say the life. All of that is up inside of you. Now go to Romans chapter 8. That unlimited realm, by the way. I believe, oh my friends, we're going to tap this unlimited realm. Not going to tap, we are tapping the unlimited realm. See, for him to be unlimited, he had to demonstrate the unlimited. He had to demonstrate that the life had no barrier, no limitation, no geographical or time barriers to it. The life was eternal. God inhabits, are you ready for this? Eternity. If it's eternal life, then if he is the eternal life, then he could manifest it where he was, or he could just pull a whole bunch of people where he was in a future position. And Peter bore the witness of it. Second Peter. If you look at Second Peter chapter 1 and chapter 3, put them together, you'll see he's talking about the second coming. And he goes on to the 1,000-year millennial reign after that. Awesome stuff. Peter was bearing witness of the resurrection that hadn't even happened. And he said, eyewitness. I mean, he was there, beholding not just the glorification of the Lord, but the second coming, majestic glory of the Most High God. John was there too. You remember, the Lord did this often. I want this operation. You remember when he was on a mountain, he had just multiplied all that bread, and he went up the mountain praying, and he put him in a boat and said, I'll meet you on the other side. And they're probably going, well, how are you going to get there if we're putting us in the boat? And he said, don't worry about it. So he sends them on the boat, and it's a 7-mile journey across. And they had rowed 8 hours. They rowed 8 hours. They made it three. They said they were about midway. They made it about 3.5 miles. Now, when the tempestuous wind came and that storm came, it said the Lord was watching them. He was on the mountain praying, but in the middle of a storm, 3.5 miles away, he could see them rowing. Row harder, boys! Row harder! I mean, in a storm. I haven't figured out rowing harder is not going to get you to the other side. When you're in a storm, you better get the Lord in your boat, because rowing harder and doing more of what you did in the middle of the storm ain't going to get you out. So he decided he was on his way. He walked through the storm, through the waves. They're probably 4 or 5 foot tall, walking through, and he was going to pass them. He was going to walk right past them. Peter saw him. They saw him, and they got his attention. See, the Lord sometime will pass you by and meet you the other side. It might take you a little longer to get there because he's already over there, because he can walk right past. But he was walking through, say walking through, they grabbed him in the boat. You know, when that's the time he says, Peter, come on, step out with me, boy. Well, he stepped out. I mean, I've tried this before. Back in the days, I was praying in tongues 10 hours a day, went out to my swimming pool, and sunk straight to the bottom. But I tried it. But Peter did it to beheld the waves. And then the Lord pulls him up, and they're standing on water having a conversation. Why did you doubt? He's like, they're still standing on the water. The Bible says he gets in the boat. Watch this. They've been rowing 8 hours, 3.5 miles, and immediately they were on the other side. So that means God pulled a boat. 12 disciples through a storm. He spoke to the storm. It died. And then he transferred a boat, a wooden boat with 12 disciples in it, 3.5 miles in 1 second flat. Why? Because he had authority over time and space. He's the Word. You have to understand, everything you see him doing, he's demonstrating the capacity of the Word who was, is, and is to come over time, space, geographical boundary. It doesn't matter. He's beyond it. The kingdom we carry. That's why we got to get broken out of this system we're in and start operating in this kingdom we're in. Pull 12 guys in a boat through time. Whoosh. Man, the things those guys got to experience. He was the life. He's the Word. Pull them through. Go to Romans 8. Romans 8, very powerful chapter when dealing with a life. Before we can have faith for this kind of life, we have to see it in operation. We have to see what it can do. That's why he shows these kind of revelations. Because this life force is up inside of you. It can transcend time, and it can overcome death. And that's what the Lord said. You are the generation that will overcome death. Do you understand who you are? I'm not waiting for the rapture to pull me out of here. We're going to pull the rapture in. We're pulling it here. We're going to pull the life. We're generation live. Do you understand in Philippians chapter 3, Paul was saying, I press on to the mark of the high calling, that I may know the power of his resurrection, that I may obtain a resurrection. You know what he wanted? You know what he's pressing into? He wanted to obtain an Elijah resurrection. He was seeing it at the end of his life. He was looking for it in his life. He wanted to obtain it. He goes, I will forget those things that lie behind. There's one thing that I'm looking for now is the life to manifest up into this body. He wanted to obtain it. In fact, he was trying to get a whole generation because he was looking at our generation. He said, let us go into perfection. I'm looking at things, unspeakable things and full of glory. I'm looking at a generation that's overcome death, that's going to overcome death itself. He goes, I want us all to get there. But see, they were laying the foundation. We're the generation and we better wake up. God wants us dealing with more than the MasterCard bill. My pastor Dave used to say, if the Sears bill is whooping you, I mean, come on. Romans 8, verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life. I'm going to throw a little thing in here. That is not the Holy Spirit. That is the law that the Holy Spirit used to raise Jesus from the dead. The Lord had to purchase that law. There was a law of sin and death, and there's a law of the Spirit of life. He purchased a new law to seed the human race. He says, I'm going to give my body for the life of this world. There's a new sheriff that's coming to town, and the Holy Spirit's going to enforce that law of the Spirit of life, and I'm going to recreate your spirit. Say, law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus made me free from the law of sin and death. I have a reservoir of life. Sin has no more dominion over me. But God, in this generation, boy, my spiritual father, boy, he just ripped those chapters up. He meditated them out. But it was all about the spirit, 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 spirit. But what God is after is for that life to come up out of us now. That life, we're going to make a demand on that life. To manifest, arise, shine thy light, it's come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. You are the generation for the glory to be seen. Somebody say amen. Amen. Cody was saying this morning, we were in prayer, and he goes, you know, when the Lord was, he was talking about repent, he wasn't just sitting there saying, just repent of everything. He said, yes, repent. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Change your mind. Change the way you see things. Change the ways. All the ways you thought you're going to get to God. The kingdom has a whole new rule. We have to understand how it works. When he's talking about the word of the kingdom. In Mark 4, so sowed the word. He in Mark 13, Matthew 13 said it was the word of the kingdom that he sowed. He said he that understandeth the word of the kingdom. Heareth it. Receiveth it. Understandeth it. Keepeth it. Word of the kingdom has to be understood in order to operate it. Now, look at this. Verse 10. If Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. He declared it dead, but now he's going to raise it from the dead. But the spirit of life is in you because of righteousness. And if the spirit of him that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, he that raised Christ from the dead will quicken, say quicken, your mortal body. By his spirit. By the spirit of life on the inside of you. You're going to quicken this body. You know what it means, quicken your body? It's going to call the resurrection about. A lot of people think the glorified body is going to come upon you. Listen, the glorified body is coming out of you. It's not coming upon you, it's coming out. Look at verse 17. If children, how many of your children, raise your hand. In this, you are children, this one. Then heirs. Now watch this. We always talk about joint heirs, you know, the crown, all that. We're huge on joint heirs and the crown. And joint heirs with Christ. If so be we suffer with him, we will also be glorified together. I reckon the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed where? In us. We have the first fruits of Christ. The law of the Spirit alive came in as a seed, already programmed within is a glorified body. It's already up inside of you. It's going to be revealed from within you. He said, all death is under his feet. He goes, but when he says it's under his feet, he already took the keys of death and hell, but the final enemy, he said, is death. But when he saith, he'll call for that life up out of your spirit, and it'll multiply right up into your body. And then God will fill all in all. You know what that means? He's going to fill all of you with himself in all. Spirit, soul, body, manifested life. Life in the body, life in the mind. How would you like to have some life in your emotional faculties? You know, the one time that they're high, oh, praise the Lord, hallelujah, and the next day they're walking around like a dead man with depression, heaviness. That's called Adam Christ. Adam Christ. Your emotions are going to be born again. Righteousness, peace, joy, harmony, love, and life for eternity. That's called emotional well-being. I'm not waiting. I'm calling it up now. Sin has no dominion for the earnest expectation of the creature, verse 19. Waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. The creature is your body. It's groaning. It's waiting to be redeemed. It's waiting for the life. Verse 21, because the creature itself will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Not only they, but ourselves have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption to take place. Verse 23, the redemption, say the redemption of our body. I want to go back to verse 17 for a minute. If children, then heirs. If joint heirs with Christ, if so be we suffer with him, we also may be glorified together. Do you know when he's saying there, joint heirs? You're a joint heir with his glorification. With a glorification, meaning he already entered his, your joint heir to the very life you saw on the Mount of Transfiguration. You are heirs to that transfiguration life. Say, I'm joint heir to the life. I've suffered with him. I'm glorified together with him. If I've suffered, then I'm glorified together. Now, I already showed you that that word has no limitation. It didn't in his time, and it's up inside of you. The only limitation that word has is what you put on it. That word can transcend time. That's what he kept saying. I am that same resurrection. How many of you have Jesus living inside of you? Is he the life? Is he the resurrection? So if he was not bound in his time, he's up inside of you. That same word's not bound. Now I realize you're not going to get a glorified body and walk around here 24 hours a day in a glorified body, but you can still access the glory because he said he'll quicken your mortal body. Yes. Corinthians says his life will rest upon your mortal body. How many of you can use some of that life? This life is extreme. It swallows up death wherever it's at. This life is not just a quickening of joy. It's life, eternal life that swallows death. That's what it does. It overcomes death. He woke me up and says, you're the generation to overcome death. That's your assignment. Override death. I'm like, anything larger, Lord? I mean, really? He goes, well, Abraham, I kind of gave him the same thing. Override death in the womb. I give you a commandment to give birth out of a dead womb. Tried to help God out. He goes, all right, we won't even talk again until you're 99 and Sarah's 90. Now let's see what you can do. But the instruction didn't change. You're still going to require to give birth out of a dead womb. Now we're a final generation ready to override death. Death in the body, mind, soul, calling the life of Christ forward. Calling the day of resurrection to where you are, calling you to where it is. It don't matter wherever the life. You either go to where it's at or it goes to where you are, because Jesus did them both. He went to where it was on the Mount of Transfiguration. He called it to where he was. Raising Lazarus from the dead. Life has no boundary. Everyone say life has no limitation. Life has no boundary. Well, I got to wait for that day. Okay. Then go to verse 29. See, if you read the Bible like this, your faith will get in gear and alignment. Your faith, man, I'll tell you what. In Romans 6, he said, sin has no more dominion over you. I am at war with the law of sin and death. That one I was born in, my spirit got redeemed. It still tries to work in my emotions, still tries to work in my mind, definitely still tries to work in my body, trying to bring forth fruits of sickness, infirmity. All that stuff's coming out of the law of sin and death. All that stuff Adam inherited. Nothing from Adam's going with me. We cut that off. Say, I'm at war. We're going to cancel the assignment of aging over our body. We're going to cancel the operation of the law of sin and death. Whenever you feel worry, whenever you feel heaviness, whenever you feel depression, where do you think that stuff's coming from? It's come from the world, but it's fueled by the law of sin and death working in the members. The Bible says you reckon yourself dead indeed unto the world, but alive unto Christ. That's your faith. Reckon who you are. The life has no boundary. When he causes your head to explode with revelation, and the life has no boundary, I don't have to walk in pain. I don't have to walk in infirmity. Haven't walked in pain or infirmity. Used to do the tree of life. Now I just walk right up into the face of God. I walk into the scripture every day. This one I'm about to show you. This is my go-to scripture every day. Verse 29. He just took the limitations off. Whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. How many of you have been conformed to the image of his son? You're born again. Moreover, whom he did predestinated. Well, if you're not predestinated, you're not going to heaven. He predestinated every human being to call them to the cross. Predestinated them to be called to the cross. Whom he predestinated, he called them to the cross. It's your job or your responsibility to respond. He called me to the cross. I've been called to the cross. Whom he called, he justified. How many have been justified in here? Justification's awesome. You're not going to walk around in heaven without it. First thing you got to do when you walk up in the right hand of God is get clothed in the righteousness of God, because you come up in there unworthy. You're not going to walk around very far in the realms of glory with an unworthy spirit. You got to know who you are. You come in there, I'm justified. Glorified. To him he justified. That's who we are now. Look at the next verse. Right now, to him he justified them, he did glorify. Not going to glorify, he glorified you. How did he glorify you in an event that hadn't even happened yet? Because it did happen. Because he carried if he could carry 12 men in a boat through time to the other side, he carried your body through time, and he carried himself into the glorification. You were in him and with him when he did it. He pulled death. He said, death, you have no sting or victory over me. I'm going to pull you right into the resurrection. I'm carrying the entire body of Christ with me. And he was glorified. it in the power of God. The law and the prophets saw it. The church saw it. We were all in him and with him in that day. That's how you were glorified. Somebody say amen. I'm finished. He finished me. I can go stand in a finished place. A victory. I don't have to wait for the day. He didn't wait. Why should we wait? Is the same word that you read inside of you, the one that he said, I am the resurrection, I am the life. Is that up inside of you? Then it has no boundary. The only limitation is what you put on it. The same word that walked out in his own resurrection in Matthew 17. Is that same resurrection up inside of you? That's how he could say he's glorified. Because you were glorified in that day. You were done. It's already been purchased. It's already been done. It's set in the seed on the inside of you. It's already programmed for a resurrection. Everyone said, I'm pre-programmed for a resurrection. Speak to the rock, come forth living waters. We are the generations go override death. We're the generation this glory is going to be seen on. The Lord said, it's going to be seen before my return. Well, just wait for him to do it. No. We are the generation going to access it to know who we are. We're going to know how this works. The first thing, the faith, I told you already, you have to see it. I'm showing you an unlimited word today. That same word is up inside of you. Or we can just go back to migraine headaches, knee pains, back pains, pain in the neck, pain in the butt, pain everywhere. Or we can be alive and kicking. Shine. Thy light is come. The glory of the Lord is risen. There's a generation the glory will be seen. Everyone say, that's me. I'm after it. I'm after two things. I'm after the life. He said he's going to open a river, an end time river, out from his throne. The gates are going to open. Half, it's in the Amplified, it says a double river in Ezekiel 47. Half's going to go to the Dead Sea and half to the Great Sea. Everything that's dead will live. There are living waters going to come up out of people. God's people in the last days, the living waters of Christ. These waters swallow up death wherever they find them. They don't know anything but life. They come from a realm of eternal life. They come out of the Father. They come out of the Lamb. And when they hit the earth, anything that's dead or anything that resembles death, sickness, disease, systems of this world, they're going to swallow it up. And the other one's going to the great sea. For the house of David to reemerge. The wealth of the seas will be converted. That's another story. Hallelujah. Two great rivers coming out of you. That's why the Bible says, Jesus, out he that believe on me, out from your belly shall flow a single river. Out from your belly will flow rivers of what? Living water that overrides death. We are going to be the most vibrant, creative people. And if someone wants to kill you in this day and they get away with it, God will disgrace you. How are you going to kill eternal life? That is as dumb gone to seed. Do you realize when they raised Lazarus from the dead, the priests had got together and they consulted how they're going to kill this man. We're going to have to kill him again. I mean, how dumb can you get and still breathe? They consulted how are you going to kill someone who just was raised, that has the power to raise them from the dead? You can't kill life. Everyone say, you can't kill life. We got to get it more than the seed it's been running in seed stage inside of us. We have to get it out of us. We got to get it up in us. The waters I'll give you will be a fountain of water. We have to unlock the potential of the life, the resurrection, so he can get out of this thing that he's been entrapped in, called your mind and your belief system. We have to break it open. We have to shatter the belief system. So this life can do what it does. It multiplies. It destroys death wherever it finds it. With overrunning flood. I'm not just preaching this. We're doing this. I'll show you how to do this. You come to Tuesday prayer meetings. I'll show you how we go up in the secret place. Identify with a life that's to come. Bring it back down here and decree its release into the earth. It will obey you. The world system's going to obey the life of Christ up inside of you. The Holy Spirit's the governor. He's the one that makes it happen. When he pulls the living water out of you, as soon as it touches the earth, he's the one that makes the miraculous things happen. He takes the law of life and he starts making stuff happen. It goes from invisibility to visible manifestation. That's his glory. That's what he does. You have a part. Father has a part. Christ has a part. Holy Spirit has a part. The only thing standing between us in this unlimited life is this thing we call our belief system. It's getting overridden in the face of God. Because I don't have to be subject to where I'm at now. I'm going to take my belief system and go put it over there in Romans 8 where I've already been glorified. You see how the enemy's defense is parted from him? If you can walk over somewhere in front of yourself that's already been spoken over you. You know, there's some things in the Bible that's been spoken over you that are already in a done state. Like you are complete in him, not going to be complete. Well, how am I complete if I'm looking at you? Because you're not looking at you where you are. How about this? The day you were born again, you were raised together. Made to sit together in heavenly places. Where do you think you're sitting there? You're sitting with him on his throne. The throne of David that he took up in the heavens that he sits on. That he's bringing back. You were already made a king the day you were born again. You just don't know yet. There are some things you just may not know. Last thing I want to do, get in front of the Lord when I'm done here. And he goes, you know, I had all this for you. But you did this. But I had all this. I don't want to be asking for whiz and then end up dumb. I need the whole thing. You got that wisdom. I mean, life's contagious. The Lord said, you don't even know contagious until the life. He goes, when the life's working in you, the earth will obey. Because this life has already defeated anything you're walking in here. Nothing can stand before the life. The life administered under and by the name of Jesus, there is no force in the earth that can stand against it. Not even death. They can't kill you. There are a few men that grasp hold of this. David Hogan, he'd come out of the mountains. He goes, you can't kill me. Witch doctors would brew up a bunch of stuff and stick it in his coffee. And he'd drink the coffee. He goes, man, that stuff tastes great. And he'd just shake it off. He goes, get a little dizzy and he'd walk on. And that witch doctor got converted because of that. He goes, I tried to kill you. He goes, I was enough poison to kill 10 men. He goes, you cannot kill me. Amen. I'll give you one more because I'm loaded, locked and loaded. I'm telling you, if you didn't get anything I'm saying, those first two examples I gave you, he kept saying, write this down. What you're looking at is up inside of you. The same life that accessed the day of resurrection is inside of you now. The same life that walked into the day of resurrection is up inside of you now. You are the only one limiting it. It has no limitation. It is the glory that will be revealed from within. It's going to rewrite that body you're wearing. 1 Corinthians 15, and we'll close. Verse 50. Wait till the contagious life shows up. He goes, you don't even know contagious hunger. He goes, the multitudes will throng to the life. Wherever it flows. You don't have to build a church. If you'll get the life of God into the earth, the life will build a church overnight. Because everybody needs life. Especially when the Holy Spirit's governing that life and turning it to signs, miracles, wonders.
Oh, I've got some life. I'm a little sinner saved by grace. No, 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 no. You're a bona fide son with a river of eternal life up inside of you. The life that's in you is eternal. It's huge. It has no limitation. It has no end. When you pour it out, he'll pour it back in. It's not like a gift realm. It flows. And the Lord said, expand your understanding of the life, because it's about to overtake you and everybody around you. Don't be afraid of what the Babylonian harlot and her crowd are doing in the earth. They don't have life. They are administrators of death. We are the administrators of life. That's God's answer to what's going on. He's going to open the reservoir of life. Put the crown with it. Now this I say, brethren, verse 50, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I'll show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, the trump shall sound. The dead shall be raised incorruptible. This corruption must put on incorruption. Now here it is, verse 54. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, read this, look at this verse, I want you to see this. This mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in this one word called victory. Say victory. Oh death, where is your sting? Oh grave, where is your victory? Two verses later, thanks be unto God who has given us this victory in Christ. You already have this victory in Christ. The victory that overrides death. It's going to rewrite your body. Some of us are going to receive the Abrahamic Sarah blessing. He's going to roll our body back into time. Have you ever seen it happen? Well, stricken in age they were in Genesis 18. She walking around with a cane. He's 99. Well, stricken in age. By Genesis 19, the next chapter, King Abimelech. What, Sarah? He goes, whoa, look at that girl. That man had a serious fetish or something happened. He rolled them back, took the age off, took the strickenness off, manifested life in their body. How many of you want some of that life? That's eternal life living up inside of us now. I'm telling you, God, mark my words, is going to grant, is granting now a revelation. I'm preaching longer, David. Man, I'm on a roll. He is granting revelation on the extremity of what this thing is called life and victory. And how it's going to override systems, atmosphere, operations. Everything around us will be overwritten by life. Life will write a new day for us. Life will write a new church for us. Life will write a brand new day that's marvelous in our eyes. Life coming out will rewrite. It doesn't matter what happened in your past. It doesn't even matter who you are right now. In Christ, you're already perfected. In Christ, you already have been glorified. He already went there. Oh yeah, he already went there. Hallelujah. Come on. Let's give him glory. The life was manifest.